The scripture reading for today comes from the chapter of the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And passing along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, church.
Good morning. All right, with you if I lose the jacket. It's a little warm in here today, isn't it? Amen. Well, I wanted to thank you all very much for your prayers last week. As I told you last week, Bridget and I, Bridget went to camp to work with a leadership camp up at Lake Louise. How many students did you have there last week, Bridge? 18 young people. She helped train leadership, four of them, three of them here from our congregation, but she left me and the boys home by ourselves, and we made it, all right? What state was the house in? Would you give it a B+? B+? All right, good. We'll take the B+. We worked really hard Friday night. If you ask the boys, we ate a lot of pizza and had our share of ice cream. Brad and his wife brought us a whole stack of brownies that we didn't save any for mom, and so we ate them all. I took them to the drive-in movie theater. Did you know there's still a drive-in movie theater in Dearborn that's operating right now? We didn't know that, so we got home way after curfew, so don't tell mom that they were out late, really late one night, but we had a good week, and so thank you for your support. I want to make a quick introduction with you. You know, when you're a United Methodist pastor, you know clearly that you're part of this fellowship of other pastors, and you also know that you go in ministry with those who have gone before you. You stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before you, and you get handed the baton. Today, here in worship with us, we're lucky to have one of Royal Oak First's former associate pastors with us this morning. Reverend Steve Buck and his wife Sue are here with us. Steve, waves, everybody can see you. Steve, what years did you guys serve here? It was that long ago. Jesus was in his confirmation class. 82 to 88. Who remembers Steve? Who was here when Steve was around? Can you tell me some stories about him? Oh yeah, they can. I was talking to Steve, and he just said, you know, they wanted to come here and see the new sanctuary, to get a sense of the new building, and to just let us know that he and Sue are just praying for us in the work that we do. So welcome, brother. Next time, don't sneak in. I'll have you up here, and I'll be sitting there. No, he knew better than that. Also, I want to just remind us that during our summer series, we are looking at the refrigerator, right? The refrigerator is our central theme of this summer, and it's not because of what we put in the refrigerator, but because of what we put on the refrigerator. In the Nelson House, the refrigerator is the symbol of where important things land, right? Pictures of important people land on our refrigerator. Works of important art land on our refrigerator. Thank you notes from important people land on our refrigerator. To-do lists of the important things Bridget doesn't want me to forget land on the refrigerator. Last week's to-do list was long, and it included things like feed your children, things like that, very basic things. And so that they all go on our refrigerator. And so this summer, I've been saying, I want to give you the things I hope you remember on a magnet that you can put on your refrigerator. And so each week that you've come, you've been able to walk home with a magnet to put on your refrigerator in order to remember the things that we're talking about. The first week we said, say it till it sticks. And it looks like it's starting to. Say it till it sticks. God loves you God loves you, God loves you. This is going to be the church that's going to say it to the community. God loves you, and we're going to keep saying it until it sticks. Last week, we said, it's not about
you.
It's not about you. Boy, you had fun saying that, didn't you, right? I heard that we ran out of magnets the last couple of weeks, so I ordered some more. So if you didn't get the last 2 weeks, they're out there on the table. You can pick them up in order to complete your set. A young woman at the last one said, I'm going to get a nod about, it's not about you, and take it to my boss. So we'll see how that works out for her this week, and we'll be praying for her job as this goes along. This week is yes. Simply say yes, and we'll be talking about what that means. So make sure you get your collectible magnet, and then at the end of the summer, those of you that have all seven, again, you can put them up on eBay and sell them to those that are missing a special one. So would you just join me in a moment of prayer as we just kind of get ready to get into God's word this morning? Gracious and loving God, we just ask that you take the words of my mouth now and you take the meditation of all of our hearts and you breathe life into them so that they may be measured and found acceptable. For God, you are our rock and you are our redeemer. Amen. This Tuesday marks an important anniversary in my life. This Tuesday, on July 26th, I will remember the day that a single word, one word, changed the direction of my life forever. That's right, it was July 26, 1996, and I stood at the intersection in the middle of an aisle of folding chairs. To my behind me were five men in black tuxes. Beside me were seven women in black dresses. Standing right next to me was a man in a white robe. It felt like there were 5,000 people seated to the right of me and another 5,000 people seated to the left of me, and that's when I realized that my collar was getting tighter and my stomach was getting queasier and my eyes were getting moister. And in that moment, I wanted to scream and I wanted to run and I wanted to hide. Because in a moment, Miss Bridget O'Connor from Madison, Wisconsin, was going to walk down that aisle. And she was going to say one word to me, a word that would change the rest of my life forever. Ooh, baby, we were good looking back then, man. What happened, right? Man. Wow, right? 20 years ago this Tuesday, Bridget O'Connor said one word to me, and that word was yes. She said yes. She said yes. She said yes. She said, if there's more bad times than good times, I say yes to you. If there is only a time when we've got two nickels to rub together, I say yes to you. And she said, Jeff, if there comes a time in this relationship when I have to sit next to you and I have to remind you who you are because you no longer remember, if I have to just sit by you and say, baby, it's me. Remember, it's me. It's me. I say yes. 20 years ago this Tuesday, Bridget O'Connor stood at the center of that aisle and she said, for good times or for bad times, in sickness and in health, I am yours and you are mine, and I will walk the rest of this journey with you. I say yes. Do you think she had any idea what she was saying yes to? Heck no. And if we weren't in church, I would have said that differently. Heck no. She didn't know what she was saying yes to. If she had known what she was saying yes to, would she have said it anyway? Probably not. Right? But she said yes. And I'm here today to tell you that that yes made me. And that yes makes us. And that yes has made all the difference in the world. The yeses we say in this life change the direction of our life forever. So Royal Oak First, let me ask you today, what are you saying yes to? Now, it's interesting, as a parent of two boys, I have learned that children learn the power of no long before they learn the power of yes, right? You ever have this look in your house, Dave?
Yeah.
I was over at your house this week. I saw this look a few times. I saw you and Carrie put some new rules on the refrigerator there, and there was a family uproar. Betsy's already here trying to negotiate right here in the, in, she's, was it crazy? All right, I didn't mean to bring all this up right here, right now. I'll let you guys work that out at home, right? But the power of no, my kids know the power of no. They came out of the womb saying no. No, I don't want to. No, I don't have to. No, I'm not going to. No, 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 no. And I'm not one of a preacher who's going to stand up here and tell you that there isn't room for no's in this world. I have invested way too much time. Bridget and I have invested way too much time working with teenagers in this world, right? 15 years of working with teenagers and young people, hoping and praying and trusting that they will learn to say no to the things in this life that will do them no good. Say no to drugs. Say no to alcohol. Say no to relationships that do not have your best interest in mind. But we have learned in working with young people that it isn't until they figure out what they're going to say yes to that saying no isn't going to work. It wasn't until we can help young people figure out that saying yes to a life of mission and service, a life of purpose, when they say yes to that, and it becomes so much easier to say no to the things that will only leave them empty. And when you can help young people say yes to their self-worth and their self-dignity and learn that they're worthy of the love that is coming their way, when you can learn to say yes to the image of God out of which they have been formed, then it is so much easier to say no to relationships that will not bring them to where we hope they will be. It was only by learning to say yes to the things that were most important that it was easier to say no to the things that would do them no good. So again, Royal Oak First, I ask you this morning, what on earth are you saying yes to right now? I'm glad you're saying yes to Jesus, right? I love this church, man. It's speaking back to me. You know, because that's the thing. Jesus, he walked the landscape of his day up and down. Everywhere he went, he looked, looking for people that he could get to say yes. That's exactly what happened in our scripture this morning. We find Jesus walking the shorelines of Galilee, looking for fisher people to get them to say yes. In the story we read today, Jesus comes upon two brothers who are out there fishing. And what do? Fishermen fish. So these men have been fishing their whole lives. They fished yesterday, they fished the day before that, and they know that they're going to fish tomorrow and in the next year. And Jesus comes up to these young men who feel like their entire life has already been figured out. And he says to them, boys, you want to go fishing? Then let me take you fishing for something that matters. You want to fish for something that matters? You want to fish for something that's bigger, something that's better? You want to fish for something that makes a difference in your life? Or do you just want to keep going to work every day? Boys, you want to do something that matters? Then say yes. And come and follow me, and I will help you become fishers of people, fishers of purpose, fishers of meaning. I will help you fish for what is really, really important. And the miracle of that story says that 2,000 years ago, those two young men heard Jesus's question. They said yes, and they dropped their nets right on the spot, and they began to follow him. They said yes. So Royal Oak First, what are you saying yes to today? What are you saying yes to? Here's the amazing thing about Jesus in this story. In the first century, a rabbi like Jesus never would have went anywhere looking to recruit disciples. If you were a rabbi of standing in Jesus' day, you didn't go out to the fishermen, you didn't go out to the workshop, you didn't go to where the people were hanging out and say, hey, you come and follow me. No, if you were a rabbi of good standing, your reputation drew people to you. You waited for people to come and ask you if you could be a part of their movement. And here is Jesus flipping it right on his head. saying, I am not going to wait for the people to come and ask me if they can follow. I'm going to go out and ask them if they want to be a part of something bigger and something better. I love that Jesus flips it on its head, because too often churches say stuff like this: boy, if they want to find us, they know where to find us. The doors are open. They know where Jesus hangs out on Sundays, Royal Oak First, 9 o'clock and 11. If that's where they want to find him, just come on down. We'll be glad to see him. If Jesus sat around and waited for people to come and see him, you and I might not be sitting here today. Because Jesus went out and asked people if they wanted to say yes. And 2,000 years ago, two fishermen said yes. And because those two fishermen said yes, a whole bunch of other people said yes. And because a whole bunch of other people said yes, you're sitting here today. If Jesus hadn't gone out and asked, and if those fishermen hadn't said yes, who knows where we would be this morning. In fact, I imagine if I were to go around and took the time and ask every one of you who said yes before you to get you here, you could identify the person in line before you. You met John Heiss at a meeting. John Heiss said yes years ago, and you met him at a meeting. You didn't meet him in church, you met him at a meeting. To have Bob tell you the story, I can't tell it in church, but it's really good, about what he and John said to each other. Because John had said, yes, Bob is now sitting here. I was here this morning, there was a younger couple, they had college-age students. She said, Pastor, took everything we could to get our kid out of bed this morning. They said, yes, we want to get her here, so that she has an opportunity to say yes. Unfortunately, in the world we live in today, the Christian church has become far too known for what it says no to. And I want you to know that I say yes to the sound of kids in this sanctuary. Amen? Amen. Do you know that there are churches that are dying to hear that sound? I mean, literally dying. We love that sound, Kathy. We're glad Charlotte is here. I see you back there trying to stop her from making that noise. And we just say, you bring her in here and you keep her here, because we say yes, because we want her to be here 20 years from now. So you just let her be here, all right? So she's a new mom. She's back there fussing. You could see her all worried. And I just want her to know. Right, amen? Are we glad she's here? Right? We don't care. I see you all going, Pastor, you know that kid's making noise. Yes, isn't that the best noise in the world? Right. Too bad the church today is known too often for what it says no to. If you were to ask an unchurched person, or a person who's no longer interested in the church, why don't you go to it? I don't need to belong to a group of people who are only out there interested in telling the world what they're against, what they're not for, what they don't support. The church of Jesus Christ in the world today is known too much for what it says no to and not what it says yes to. You know, the typical mantra, if you ask a young person, why don't I come to church? I know the mantra, don't drink, don't chew, don't go with the girls that do, right? I mean, that's kind of what we're known for out in the world, right? That's kind of what we're known for out in the world. But what if we were known more for the things that we said yes to? So I ask you again, what are we saying yes to? And I understand that part of my job is to help you, give you every opportunity to say yes. To say yes to the things that God is putting on your heart. That is my job, is to give you every single opportunity to say yes to the call of God on your life, whether you're, yes. I forgot that was coming. Yes, that's what I want you to say. I want you to be that kid. I want you to be like, will you serve on this committee? You're gonna go, yes, I will. Because it's an opportunity to help God's work in this world. Say yes to the call of God in your life. I want you to know, Royal Oak First, as we start this dance of ministry together, I am a permission-giving pastor. I am a permission-giving pastor. My job is to say yes more than I say no. My job is to say yes to the ideas God has placed in your heart. My job is to say yes to the passion God has put in your spirit. My job is to say yes to the visions and to the dreams and the hopes that you have for this church and for the community around us. So let me be clear from the get-go, I am a permission-giving pastor, and I want you to know that that sure beats the alternative. right? Because too often a new person will come to church, and I don't know if you've noticed, but we got new people coming to church, right? And new people start coming to a church, and they start saying, man, I like it here, and I got an idea of how I'd like to serve. And they raise their hand, and they come forward, and they say, pastor, church, can I be do this? You know what they too often hear? They hear Tawadi. That's not the way we always do it. Tawadi. That's not the way we always do it. I'm sorry, that's not the way we always do it. What they hear is, we tried that once before, but it didn't work. Or what they hear too often is, let's send it to committee. Let's run that idea through committee. Boy, you guys are Methodists, man. You know the drill. Just think for a moment, if Jesus were a United Methodist 2,000 years ago, right? And he came upon this crowd of 5,000 people who needed to be fed. And he comes to the board of disciples, right? And he says, guys, there's 5,000 people who need to be fed. And I got this loaf and this fish. Why don't we multiply it and feed the crowd? And Peter was the first one to say, Jesus, that's not the way we do things here. That's not the way we do things here. Judas would say, that hasn't been to the finance committee yet, right? And James would say, finance, you got to go to missions before you can do that, right? And then Andrew's like, oh, I'm the chair of the church council. Who voted to make that happen? And all I know is that suddenly 5,000 people who had a chance to experience the love of Jesus Christ wouldn't get to experience because it died in committee. Committee, where all good ideas go to die, right? Someone's excited about that, right? Let's not be the church that kills good ideas by making them jump through enough hoops, because it's not the idea that dies, it's the person who dies along with it. Let us say yes. Let us say, let's give it a try. Let's say, let's see what happens. And here's what I know, brothers and sisters, after 15 years of saying yes to the work of God in the life of a church, here's what I know. If God is in it, the people and the money always show up. I've never not seen it. If God is in it, the people and the money always make themselves available. Always. As long as the church is willing to say yes. So I'm going to ask you again, what are you saying yes to? For way too many of us, we only say yes to our home and to our work. And I'm here today to tell you that until you found that third thing, until you got like Tim and got a mission, this guy's got a mission, man. He's the fish guy, right? The only other thing I heard about choir camp was fish fries, right? It's the man's mission. It's what he's passionate about, is making sure that this church has a place that brings the community in. I know he's not just selling fish. He's offering community. He said yes to something bigger than just himself. So I know what you're saying this morning. You're saying, like you do every time I get up here and get all carried away, you say, pastor, that's some really good preaching. I'm glad you're all fired up about that, but do you really believe this stuff? Friends, I don't just believe it. I've seen it. See, it was the year 2004, and I should have said no. Any pastor would have said no, and I should have had said no, because the project wasn't in the budget. The church calendar had already been set. And there I was, sitting in the parsonage with a group of about 12 teenagers from the Birmingham youth group. We're sitting in the parsonage and we're having youth group communion. You know what youth group communion is? That's a hot and ready pizza and a 2 liter of Coke, right? We were breaking the bread. We were passing the common 2 liter around. And it might as well have been Pentecost, because the Spirit of God descended upon a group of teenagers. The year was 2004, and the world was talking about the AIDS epidemic in Africa. And the rock stars were crying out, and the young people were listening, and they turned to their pastor and they said, "Pastor, if it's okay with you, we want to make sure that when our generation has to speak on whether or not it knew what was going on in Africa, we want to say that we knew and we wanted to do something about it." And I don't know exactly how it happened. Before that day was over, a group of 12 teenagers around that table decided that they wanted to raise a single penny for every single person on the continent of Africa infected with HIV/AIDS. And in 2004, that was 23 million people. They wanted to raise $230,000, a quarter of $1 million, and they wanted to do it by collecting pennies. Any pastor who had a brain would have said no, but I was dumb. So I said okay. And they reached into their pockets, and on that dining room table, they put $4.37 of change on the table, and they began a mission in order to raise $230,000, a penny for every single person on the continent of Africa infected with HIV/AIDS. I went to the staff meeting the next morning, and I said, "Guess what? The youth are going to collect $230,000. And they said, "That's not in the budget. You got three committees you got to go to before that idea gets off the ground." Well, luckily, the kids didn't listen to their church. They listened to the yes that God had placed on their life. And so they started asking people to bring pennies. And people brought pennies. They brought them in buckets. They brought them in jars. There was an older woman that came to church, I'm not kidding you, every single Sunday with about a dozen pennies in a little baggie. She brought them every week, faithfully, and brought them in one after the other. They went out and they got other youth groups to start bringing their pennies in. Do you know what it looks like when you have $20,000 of pennies in your basement? That's when Ralph Babb, who at the time was the president of Comerica Bank, said, "You know, I've got a bank you can put those in, right?" And it all learned. We went along on this ride and this journey, and year after year, these young people continued on that mission of saying yes and going out and inviting others to say yes. I'll never forget when on a mission trip, a young boy came running across the parking lot. Pastor Jeff, I found one, a penny. I found it on the ground and I stopped and picked it up. Can we put this towards the mission?" 3.5 years later, those kids, empowered by the yes of their church, completed their goal. They had raised $250,000, primarily through spare change. And with that, they invested in the AIDS epidemic in Africa. Teenagers from Birmingham, Michigan, sent 10 students to medical school, full-ride medical school in Zimbabwe, 10 new doctors on the front lines of the AIDS epidemic in Africa today because a group of kids learned how to say yes and a church got out of its way when every muscle in it said they should say no. Those kids sponsored an orphanage in Ghana where 30 kids who were orphaned by the AIDS epidemic got schooling and got food and got protection. They created a small business for 40 women who were infected with HIV/AIDS so that they could make their own cloth and clothing so they could sell it in order to afford their medicine. And here's the miracle of it. They started to ask all these questions. They created a micro lending bank. I don't know anything about, these teenagers went out and figured out how to give money so that it kept giving over and over and over and over again. The power of yes can unleash a miracle. So Royal Oak First, let me ask you, what are you willing to say yes to? What are you willing to say yes to? What are you saying yes to? So I want to ask you, what will you say to the call of Jesus on your life? We'll say yes. What will we say to the people of our community who are looking for a place to call their spiritual home? We'll say yes. What will we say to the new ideas and the new ministries that we'll be asked to try? We'll say yes. What will we say to new ways of worship and new music and new technology that helps spread God's love to new people? We'll say yes. When people come to ask for more resources to make Christ's love visible, we'll say yes. 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 Is this sermon over? Yes.